Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Up to her old shit again, but we are just getting started here on post-show recaps. I'm Jess Sterling. We are talking Pretty Little Liars, Season 1, Episode 2, The Spirit Queen. And of course, I am not alone because we need to find out if two can indeed keep a secret. I am here with Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I'm doing really well. I just released your embarrassing tape to the masses of PSR Discord. You know, it was so quickly edited that no one was able to take out their phones and hit record.
Yeah, that was such a crock. Tabby's like, no one will possibly be able to. There was a full like 40 seconds.
This was a long video.
It was so long.
I feel like the video could have been pared down even more. But apparently it was too long for anybody to take a video. Don't you worry. This is the abbreviated version.
Yeah, there was so much happening in this episode. Second episode in, gut reaction. I'm still really enjoying the show. In fact, I think that I enjoyed episode two more than episode one because episode one was very much like a series premiere where they have a lot to set up, right? And I just feel like what always made me happiest in OG Pretty Little Liars was when the group was actually friends with each other, right? They weren't all part a different, like in different corners of the school. And here we get them. We get a makeover montage, Sarah. One of our favorite things.
Jessica and I love a makeover montage. We are 90s kids, as you well know. So we love a makeover montage. That was really exciting. Even though it did have dark elements, of course, I did feel like it was lighter this episode. And I think that's because it's a product of a high school dance. And of course, the winning of the Spirit Queen and all that stuff. So I think that I think that was a really good episode. I really enjoyed it. It got me really excited. I have a couple of new theories to share at the end, but this was a really good episode. And I think it's really promising for what the next few episodes are going to look like. Once again, Jess and I are unspoiled on episode three. We have not watched it yet.
Right.
Out of the three, we watched two out of three of the episodes that have released in the first week of Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin. And I'm liking what I'm seeing so far.
I am too. I felt like this episode more than the first made me want to immediately hit play on the third episode. I'm not saying I didn't want to do it on episode one, but this one, it was harder to not watch the third episode just because probably the ending, but also just because this whole episode felt like we were really moving the ball along in terms of the plot, in terms of like, oh my gosh, like what is happening? Who A could possibly be? You know, all of that. So I really, really enjoyed this episode. I feel like we've solved some mysteries where we still have a lot left to go, right? We still don't know why. We found out Noah went to juvie and we don't know why. So there's still a lot left to be discovered in this show. But yeah, The Spirit Queen, an excellent episode of Pretty Little Liars. I will say that it is still a teen drama, right? I think it still contains all of the elements of a teen drama where you have messiness. You have, of course, there's always like love triangles and romances and school dances and makeovers, and all of those things still are happening in this show. But I will say it does. I can feel the HBO-ness about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Beyond the longer runtime on the episodes, it's a very dark show in that it feels spookier. And I feel like the script definitely feels very smartly written. I think that a lot of these characters come off Like, especially Tabitha, to me, I feel like she sounds a bit more adult than the rest. Like, you can tell an adult is writing her, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really enjoying it so far. If you're enjoying the coverage, feel free to follow along. PosherRecaps.com/Pretty Little Liars. You can find our dedicated feed. Of course, we are also in the HBO feed at PosherRecaps.com/HBO pod. If you want to follow along there, like we said before, our goal is always we're going to get all three episodes, or I should say, you know, we have a 3-2-2-3 order. We're going to get all of the episodes from the week in podcast form out to you before the next set drops. So most likely this will go up on Saturday. Our next one will probably come out on Monday. Feel free to comment along. If you want to, we have our own little channel, our dedicated thread in the Posher Recaps Discord. If you are a patron, that is PosherRecaps.com/Patreon to become a patron if you want to join us and spout out your theories and your thoughts on the show as well. We might as well, are you ready to jump right in? We have a lot to cover this episode.
I am. Yeah.
All right. So we start off six, or it says, and I love this, it says like about 6 months ago. And we're like, oh, so this is when Imogen gets pregnant. Like that was my first thought because we know she's about 6 months pregnant.
Right.
And this is about 6 months ago.
Yeah. It's very interesting that around the same time Imogen got pregnant is also when this night happened where she had the huge falling out with Karen.
Right.
And I thought that that was kind of interesting and a little telling, but I also am not very much convinced that Greg is involved as the father, but I honestly don't know.
I felt like he would have made a lot of sense, but I feel like this episode kind of ruled that out. But we don't know. We know she goes back in to get her sweater and like helps Karen out with the whole Tyler of it all. But we don't know where she goes from there. At first, I thought she was going to meet a rando outside when she was like walking home. I don't think we have any inclinations as to who the father is of Imogen's unborn baby. But it is party time. We have teens at a party. Imogen is drinking heavily. And we see Karen and Kelly come over to her. They're like very friendly. So we know they're still friends at the moment. This is their house. Their parents are out of town. All three of them are super drunk. And Imogen is like, why don't you get Greg to go get us more beer? And she's like, Greg and I are fighting. So Imogen goes to find Greg to get him to run out and grab more beer. But I don't think we know. We hear later from Karen that this is the night that she lost her virginity to Greg. But she doesn't say why they're fighting.
No, that's really interesting because this was the night where she lost her virginity to Greg. And obviously in the video, we kind of see that she wasn't that pleased with the night, I guess you can say. I don't really know why they were fighting. I'm sure that we'll find out in good time.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have to reveal it because I feel like it somehow plays a part in all of this. We see some of the girls arrive. So Chip and Tabby arrive. Chip is not really interested in this party, but Tabby's like, it's like a movie. She starts naming like Pretty in Pink, Risky Business, like pretend that you're in those films. We'll have a great time. Now go get us drinks.
Yeah.
Tabby really do be the Dawson's Creek of Pretty Little Liars, or the Dawson Leary of Pretty Little Liars.
Well, I thought it was interesting that, it's with the movie references, but I thought it was interesting that it seems as though Chip is pretty into Tabby, especially later on when he almost takes the fall for the movie situation. Yeah. And I wonder if Tabby ever had any interest in him or if she's kind of like friend zoning him.
It feels very friend zony to me. Tabby is so smart. She has to know he likes her. Like all the signs are there. We'll get into it a little bit later when they have that kind of one-on-one conversation. I just feel like she can tell, right? Like that a girl knows if you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like it's pretty obvious with him. And so then we see Sean and Noah, and Sean brings a drink over to Noah and he says he'd rather hang out with her than his football buddies. How sus of you are, Sean? How sus of you are Wait, what was I saying? How sus of you are on Sean right now?
That's so sad because I wasn't sus of Sean at all. So I just thought that he was a really sweet boyfriend. Like, this
is the first night
that they got together, apparently. This is when they became boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I thought that he was really sweet. And he
I don't care about
the ankle monitor. I don't know. I thought that he could be like our Caleb.
Okay, I wasn't sus on him at this moment in the show. It was later that I was like, because we find out that, oh, he, when she was in juvie, he stayed with her, which is super rare for a boyfriend, right? Why is that?
Because he likes her.
No. I'm not. I am just like picking up what the show is putting down for me.
Really?
And I didn't feel like there's something there. I don't think he is like the bad guy per se. But something about him is giving me pause, is what I'll say. Like, I'm planting a flag there. There's something going on with Sean.
I got to be honest. Like, I'm not even putting, like, two points of interest into the guys of this show. I think that I am so hyper-focused on what all the Pretty Little Liars are doing.
Yeah.
And the twins and the moms. I don't think about the boys of this show that much.
He's the only boy I was really getting a little bit of suspicion towards.
Crazy.
Yeah, because the other boys to me just seem like more like love interests, where he is too, but I don't know, something about him. We'll talk about it later because there's a specific scene that I started to pick up on that. And then so Imogen finds Greg and she's like, oh, you have to do a beer run. He's coming out of the bathroom. And Greg says to that he wants Karen to be more like Imogen. And he's like, you're a really good person. And they pause. And what is most interesting, Sarah, they don't show us the kiss. And I'm wondering why. Because according to Imogen, he kissed her.
Right. Yeah. I think it's really interesting that we really don't get to see what went down. I do think that saying like, I wish my girlfriend was more like you is crossing a line, especially to your girlfriend's best friend, especially on the night that you lost virginities with one another. But
yeah,
I felt like when Kelly goes downstairs and tells her twin sister, Karen, what she saw, I was suspicious of Kelly in that moment because I was like, I saw no kiss yet. Like, is this a story that Kelly is putting on? Yeah. Imogen is Karen's best friend in this moment, right? And so Kelly is more jealous. Your twin out of the two. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty plausible for Kelly to flourish the story a little bit.
Right. Because I would imagine that if Kelly saw anything, I think what happened is Greg did kiss Imogen, but Kelly saw it and is saying that Imogen kissed Greg. And so what happens is Karen is like really upset. Imogen comes downstairs. Karen screams, "You kissed my effing boyfriend." So Imogen tries to tell her it's not what happened. Greg kissed me. And Greg's like, oh, it's fine. Imogen was just being dumb and drunk. But Karen immediately kicks Imogen out of the party. And she's really pissed off at Greg as well.
Get out of my house, you slut.
Yeah.
That's going to be whatever I say whenever you leave my house. Get out of my house, you slut.
And so Imogen is upset. She leaves. And we see her walking down by herself in the dark. And I was like, oh no, this isn't good. But she seems like chilly. And so then she is like, oh shit. And you kind of realize like, oh, she must've forgotten her jacket or her sweater.
Yeah. It's also interesting how all these people are at this party, including Tabby, including Noah, mm-hmm. and they weren't friends yet.
Right.
So they kind of have these like preconceived notions of who Imogen is and who Karen is. And I'm sure that these girls thought that Imogen was a real B, like Karen, because that's
to an extent, I feel like she probably was. You kind of like Imogen's mom says, you are who you hang out with. And even if you're not necessarily the one who's bullying others, if you're standing around while it happens, it's not good. It's not a good look on you.
Yeah.
So we immediately flash back to present day and we're right back with them in detention, which I really liked because I like this whole group together, kind of getting to know each other. And so Imogen's telling all the other girls about that party. Tabby says she was there, but in like an 80s rom-com kind of way. And I so deeply connected with that sentence.
I just like how she's still going back to the Pretty in Pink. As well. Like she's like, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, you're telling a story and then you tell the same exact story in a, you know, in a different group of friends. I don't know. Like, yeah. Yeah, I was there, but like in a Pretty in Pink kind of way or in 80s movies kind of way.
I love Tabby.
Yeah.
And so Noah thinks that Chip is Tabby's boyfriend, but she says, no, he's like my gay friend, but he's straight. Like he's my gay best friend, but he's straight. And they're like, oh, Noah was there with Sean. It was, so this was right before they became exclusive and were like actually dating, which makes sense. Cause like you said, they were kind of like a bit honeymoonish, if you will, like he's trying to flirt with her, impress her.
The courting, the courting of it all where, you know, your elbows touch and you, there you share a smile. The courting phase is always the funnest part.
I really like getting to know Farron a bit more this episode. I felt like I really understood who she is a lot more this episode because she's like, I was invited, but I didn't go.
I just love that Farron like literally does not give a crap about anything at any sort of time. She is so above this high school crap. It's so funny.
I love that about her.
I really like that about her.
She's
too.
Very self-interested and in a good way. Yeah,
she stays in her own lane, right? Like she
doesn't care if she's the only dissenting opinion. Like she's just gonna speak her mind, which I love.
Yeah, and she's just like, yeah, like this is what I think, and it's not like you're wrong, but it's I'm confident in myself. Like I know what it is. I don't need to go to these silly high school parties. I don't need to get into the minutia of Spirit Queen. It doesn't matter to me. She's above it all. She's very cool.
Whereas poor Mouse is like, oh, I heard about it after the fact.
Not invited. That's honestly me. Never invited to any cool parties. So what are you going to do?
I love Mouse. I really connected with her this episode and we'll get into why in a little bit. But Imogen says there's a video from that night. And it has Karen in it, and it would destroy her. She's like, she is messy as F. And so, of course, they all assume it's a sex video. But Imogen says no. And Tabby's like, well, I could screen it because I work at the Orpheum Theater, and I could project it before my Jordan Peele double feature.
Is this not the worst idea you've ever heard of in your life? I mean, it's such a bad idea.
It's a pretty bad idea because you're almost guaranteed to get fired.
Exactly.
And she loves that job. Yes.
She does. So you're putting yourself at risk with your job. There's no way it's not going to boil down to you. The posters that were throughout the school that were vandalized, that was blamed on Tabby and Imogen. So you can't say
you're already like under the suspicious list.
Yeah, exactly. And that was with no evidence that it had anything to do with them. So I just feel like this sharing of the video is so dangerously such a bad idea because you just know that they're going to get pointed a finger right to them.
I think so. The reason they want to do this is because originally they're like, oh, do we post it online? But Mouse is against that for good reason. She says, you know, once something is online, it's there forever. So it's a bit more difficult because if they wanted to circulate it anonymously, that would be the route you'd go is probably the internet. So they decide this is the best move. And Tabby says she can edit it and make it short enough so people can't record it. We'll get into how, like, I almost want to time how long this video is because there is so much time for someone to pull their phone out and start recording, especially because all of the, like, incriminating or, like, stuff that Karen would be most upset that people saw is at the end. So there's so much time. But Imogen says, I have it on an old phone at my old house. So they have to go there. And I loved the girls just all four of them besides Imogen, all just standing downstairs, like so close together. And Tabby saying like, this is Amityville level of weird, right? Like I'm getting Poltergeist vibes.
The house is creepy. And it's not just creepy because somebody just passed away in it. It's an old creepy house. Yeah. So it's kind of, they're they're terrified to be there. They're, aren't they talking about ghosts as well? It's just, yeah, but so the interaction I thought was really, really funny. And Imogen finds the phone and is like, let's get some food and look at the video. So they go to a pizza shop.
Yes. So Imogen says it's some douchebag's phone. And they're like, oh, well, how are you going to get in? Don't you need the passcode? And I absolutely loved Mouse being like, oh, passcodes are so easy. And we find out the passcode for this is 6969, which is just so ridiculous and so apropos for some douche named Tyler to have.
It's very teenage boy, right? Yeah. Because it's just such a typical password for a teenage boy. 6969.
Yeah. So they, all of them watch the video. And they're like, oh, well, why isn't someone looking for this phone? Like, how do you have it? And she's like, the guy never said anything about it. And Farron, this is what I'm talking about with Farron, where she's like, I would love to see Karen drop a pick or two. Like, this would be great. I think we should all vote. And so Farron and Noah are the first two to hop on board the yes train. Yes, we should do this. And Imogen is like, well, let's like, oh, she like immediately backpedals and like, maybe we should sleep on it. She
starts hemming and hawing about it. It's like, this is your idea. You're the one that brought the phone. You're the one that kept the phone for 6 months.
Imogen is the most waffly of the characters. And I think it makes her one of the hardest to like, because she flip flops on everything so much. And there's nothing people like less than someone who can't make up their mind. And I'm just saying.
I don't dislike Imogen. I don't think that she's my least favorite out of the five slash.
Who's your least favorite?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the fact that she spends all of her time on Discord and makes me feel like it's a mirror within myself.
No! But
I don't know if I'm connecting with Mouse.
Okay, that's harmful to me personally because I love Mouse.
Well, I think that's great that we're interested in two different characters. I think
we need to at the end of the episode. Yeah, I think at the end of the episode characters? We have to rank them. Yeah.
Rankings are arbitrary and reductive.
They certainly are, and yet we'll do it anyway.
I love to rank things. So yeah, I would rank the girls.
So we see all the different girls get home. Farron gets home and we see a dad. A dad exists on the show. Mm-hmm. Her dad was supposed Farron's to be
dad.
Yes, he's supposed to be working a double, but he got a call from her school about the razors in the ballet slippers.
I swear to goodness, if a teacher called me and was like, hi, Sarah, your daughter put razor blades in a kid's shoe, I would be like, I don't know how I would be. Of course, I'd be like, that's freaking awful. But if I had a kid that was like Farron, then I would be like, no way. Have you met my daughter?
I just think that like, okay, some of these things aren't that bad, right? Like the whole posters thing is not that bad. Putting razor blades in someone's ballet slippers or putting a dead rat in someone's bag. Specific. How is the parent not getting called immediately? And also kind of like the cops? Like, I don't know. Razor blades in someone's shoe feels kind of like a police thing.
It just feels so specific. Like, I am going to put razor blades in somebody's shoes. How did A think about this? How did she come up with this?
Yeah. So everyone's getting home and getting into trouble. Mouse is home and we find out. So we had asked last episode, we're like, why are there no dads? Like, where are the other parents? And we see both of Mouse's parents. So Mouse has two moms, only one of which we are aware of is involved in the whole 1999 scandal.
Right.
And then Tabby is like telling her mom, like, mom, I didn't do it. Karen is a psycho. And her mom actually believes her. And
I liked.
I really appreciated it. And Tabby is all of us when she's like, that's why you're better than 99% of TV moms.
Which is something that Dawson Leary would totally say.
It is. And it's very meta, which I love Tabby constantly being very meta on the show.
It's very funny. Yeah.
Earlier in the episode, she's like, no jump scares.
She's like, definitely doing the wink, wink, nod, nod to the audience.
Yeah. Mouse, so then everybody starts getting video messages. Mouse is the first one. She sees the same rat in a cage and like a machine, and we find out it's like basically vacuum sealing the cage so it won't have air. Farron gets a video of the person inserting blades into the ballet slipper. Noah gets a message that says, say no to thugs. And it's pee being poured into like that little like medicine cup thing. Imogen comes in to Tabby's room and is like, have you seen the video? And it says, warned you, you should have stayed off my ass. And it's a photo of, or it's footage of the posters being destroyed. So all of them get on a video call immediately to discuss all of this, which, yeah. Sarah, I really appreciated that it was not like the original Pretty Little Liars where they're all like refusing to tell each other they got these messages.
Yeah, that, or isn't it the funniest thing how in these types of shows, everybody can just drop everything and meet in a cemetery or yeah. a coffee shop at 11 o'clock at night. It's so realistic that the girls were like, we have to jump on a Zoom call.
Yeah, especially in the year 2022. This makes a ton of sense. They're like, let's just do video conference.
That was like the craziest thing when people would just drop everything. When I leave the house, I need to get ready. I need to put on like a nice outfit. Like I can't just drop everything and leave the house. That's just crazy talk.
I mean, these all are teenagers, so they probably can do that. But I do love the video call. Farron says it's a mind F. And Mouse, being the reasonable one, is like, maybe we should call the cops. Like, she literally tortured a rat. And Tabby's like, well, her dad's the sheriff, so we probably can't do that. And so they ask Imogen, like, why is she doing this? And Imogen says Karen is an insecure, toxic person, and she's not a good person. And Mouse is way more fired up than she was earlier because of the rat dying. Like, I am also an animal lover like Mouse, and I would hate to be sent this video. It seems awful to watch that. And like, what kind of a horrifying serial killer is killing poor baby rats in this tank?
Yeah, it's very disturbing. I really wouldn't enjoy any of this, to be honest with you. It's very traumatizing. What do you think about the excuse of we can't call the police because Karen's dad is the sheriff?
This feels like some PLL BS, because in this teeny town of Millwood, it seems like Mr. Beasley, Sheriff Beasley, like runs the town, but like, how is there not a single cop that you could go to, right? Like, you don't have to go to him. You could go mm-hmm. to a different cop.
You would hope that there's checks and balances within the police department of Millwood. Right.
But I would also say it wouldn't surprise me if they don't trust cops, because who does these days, right? Like, I still think it would be like, we're all in a spot where it's a little bit tough to do that. And so I don't necessarily blame them for that not being their first instinct. What my first instinct would be to tell my parents, to be honest, because at least there's someone I could trust versus right. the cops. But right. I don't know. Like,
they especially make a lot of justifications in these types of shows why they can't go to some higher authorities or right. share. I think that for them, in their teenage mind, they feel as though they have to take care of this on their own. For mm-hmm. whatever reason, I do think that it is pretty likely that maybe Tabby will share it with her mother eventually.
She's the one that feels to me like the chalk pick for that, because she yeah. also believed Tabby about the posters. Yeah. I also feel like Mouse maybe has a decent relationship with her mom's. Just by the way Mouse acts, it feels like she might. Obviously, Imogen doesn't really have anybody to go to at this moment. And we don't know a ton about Farron's parents. I'm trying to remember.
Well, they seem a little bit strict. Like, she comes home and her dad right. is, pretty aggressive. Her mom seemed like she was in an office somewhere. Was she a lawyer or something like that?
Oh, that's right. Her mom was the one who she was like, Mom, you never want to come to my school stuff. Exactly. Like, you hate school things. I don't know. I get the vibe
her parents. She's in front of a fax machine. So she's in, she does some sort of business.
So she's in the 90s is what you're saying.
Somebody, I was actually on the telephone the other day with somebody from, I don't know, New York tax nonsense, but they were telling me that I have to fax them paperwork. And I said, ma'am, I do not have a fax machine. It's 2022. And yeah. then she said, you got to go to Staples then and fax it. Are you
serious?
She did. But then ridiculous. I was like, can't I just email it? And apparently she doesn't do email.
Oh my gosh. Are you kidding? I know.
I have to go to the local Staples. I got to go to FedEx Kinko's just like A and get some posters printed.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on Farron, like in her like interactions with her mom and her dad separately, I get the vibe that there's a bit of a distance between them, that she doesn't tell them everything, that they put a lot of pressure on her, maybe like to be someone who is a ballerina. That is so, that is, it requires dedication and very like strict regimens. And so I don't know if her parents are pushing. I mean, it seems like she truly enjoys it. So maybe I'm reaching here, but I don't know. We don't know a ton about them, but either way, Tabby is like, I will edit the video in a certain way. And so that way it's like people can't grab their phones out. And Farron and Noah immediately are like, yes, we vote yes. Mouse is now in because of the dead rat. Like, she hated that. And so Tabby mutes her and Imogen. And she says, Imogen, what do you think? And Imogen says, I'm in if you're in. And so it's on. They're into this. They're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
The next day.
Awful. Yeah.
Do not.
It's truly terrible.
Yeah, don't do this.
The next day, it's Thursday, October 1st. They're at the same table we saw Karen and Kelly at. And Karen's like, when are you doing? And they say they're going to do a screening at the Orpheum. It's also an event to promote Imogen's Spirit Queen campaign. And she's like, I can't believe the principal is even letting you run. And Imogen's like, well, we thought he might say, like, he might be worried that the pregnant student would sue the school. So he's letting you run.
Yeah. Discrimination, right?
Yeah. So Karen's like, I have nothing to confess. And she like takes some of the flyers and she's like, I'll be there.
Yeah. Tabby gives Karen the out. If you have anything to confess, this is your last chance. Mm-hmm. And then Karen storms off in her Karen-y way.
Yep. And we see various, like the various girls handing out what looked to be like tickets to the screening. So we see a Mouse putting them at the computers in the computer lab. Farron is putting them in like the cubbies for ballet. Noah leaves them all on the library desk. That was like, Karen, you're not, or excuse me, Noah, you're not even trying. You're just like, you just left them in a stack on the library desk. You're not handing them out to anybody.
That's my effort. I don't want to try. I just want to do my part and leave. Yeah. Plus, she has important things to do. She has to hang out with her, I guess, now notably suspicious boyfriend.
Yes. His friends are making plans for the dance, but he's like, I got to get off this thread. I told them I can't go. And Noah keeps telling him, you should go. Like, you're on the football team. You'll be the guests of honor. Like, go without me. But he's like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go without you. It's like too schmoopy for me, to be honest.
I don't know. Like, why would you want to go to a dance without your significant other? I would
rather go with your friends.
I would rather, if I was a teen, I would rather go to my significant other's house and hang out one-on-one and have smoochy time.
Smoochy.
Yeah, I would rather be smooching than dancing.
I'm just saying, like, if his friends really wanted to go and wanted him to go with, I would be like, yeah, go with your friends. Like, go have a good time.
Why would you want to go to a school dance without your significant other?
I don't know. Most school dances I went to, I didn't have a significant other. So it didn't seem like a big deal.
Wanted to be with a significant other. you. It's like, the point is a dance. Who are you going to slow dance with? Your bros? No. Go.
I mean, you could.
No, I'd rather be smooching.
That's Sarah's motto. Always be smooching
your bros, which is fine.
ABS ads. Always be smooching.
This kid, always be smooching. this kid does not want to go to the dance. He wants to go to the dance with Tabby.
I feel like your version of smooching is like when I said get frisky. Like, smooching sounds like something old people say.
Do you want me to be more like, I would rather, you know, you don't want me to get descriptive. This is PSR. Ma'am, this
the
is
this and is, the wheels churning in your head.
This is a PG-13 podcast.
You could say like Jump His Bones.
This is not PSR After Dark.
No, After Dark. I feel like if we had an After Dark edition, it would have to start like PSR After Dark.
Oh yeah, exactly like that. Yeah. No, this is not that.
Wow, chicka wow, PSR After Dark.
No, boom, chicka wow wow. No.
So yes, yeah, so he doesn't want to go without her. Chip is asking where Tabby got the raw footage from.
Chip is the only sensible one.
Thank you. I agree.
Chip is like, this is not a great idea, but I will do this because I'm hopelessly in love with you and you are the gorgeous, gorgeous girl.
Yeah. She's like, you're the best. She's like, listen, quid pro quo, I'll owe you something. And so he's like, oh, well, do you want to go to the dance with me? And so she's like, yeah. For a hot second, I really thought she was going to say, yeah, as friends. Like, really just like rubbing it in even further.
No, and you're in the friend zone. I feel bad because, once again, Tabby is only being like, yeah, let's go to the dance, because she knows if she goes to the dance with him, then he will, you know, play and edit this video at the theater. So I feel really bad. She's using him. Bad, bad Tabby. Don't use Chip.
She is using Chip. And I think that based on her reaction when Noah asked, like, oh, is that your boyfriend? She knows how he feels. Like, Tabby is so smart. She has to know.
She knows. I had the biggest crush on a kid named Chip in high school.
There was a kid named Chip in your high school? Yes. Was he a jock? All Chips to me would read as jocks.
He was like kind of like a skater kid.
Oh, did he wear Etnies?
Yeah, totally.
Yes.
Yeah, Vans.
Whatever. I had a crush on a skater kid once. He was really mean to me and he was super quiet.
How can he be mean to you and be quiet?
Do you because whenever he did talk to me, he was really mean.
Oh, God.
And I really liked it because I was a teenager. Goodness. Well, he was he was like in my homeroom. He was like my homeroom crush, you know?
Specifically just for homeroom. He was just not even another class.
He might have been in some of my other classes, but because of the way the alphabet was, I sat near him in homeroom.
Wow, you're so lucky.
No, because he was not nice to me.
I was Chip's science partner, and it was the best. I was so happy when I got science partners with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys have chemistry?
I don't think so.
Anyway, we're at the movie theater. Karen is in the center row. And Tabby's like, you know what? This just confirms my theory that no one loves free shit more than rich people.
I mean, it's true. Have you ever seen the Oscar swag bags?
They get swag bags. They have fancy stuff.
That is my dream. I don't want to go to the Oscars. I just want to get the Oscars swag bag.
You just need to get a famous friend first. Who do you think is the friend that's most likely to end up famous? You just need to figure out who that is and cozy up next to him.
Probably you.
Then you're going to be pretty SOL because I don't see that happening. You said the Oscars swag bag?
Yeah.
Which one is the Oscars? What are they giving out awards for?
Oh, God, Jessica. The movies. I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's movies?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't watch
the awards, the Oscars.
The Oscars. Well, I know there's like a music one. I know the Emmys is the TV.
Grammys. Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And I know there's a thing called an EGOT. You get all of them.
Yeah. What's the T in EGOT?
Tonys.
Good job. And what does that represent?
I think it's musical theater.
It's theater.
Okay. Because I know that the guy who did Hamilton, doesn't he have an EGOT? Okay.
God, Lin-Manuel Miranda. Let's just move past this.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm bad with names. Anyway, I love him. So they enter the theater and I just keep calling him bad person in my notes because creeper. It's either in my notes, it says bad person or creeper.
Who are you talking about?
The bad one, the person who kills people.
Oh, because we don't know them as A yet.
I guess at the end of this episode, we will. Yeah. But yeah, so the bad person is standing behind the screen with a peephole. And it's so creepy.
Yeah, peepholes are not great.
Have you ever seen a not creepy peephole?
Besides, on the rankings of holes, peepholes are probably low. Donut holes, probably high.
And so we get, I feel like we got a lot more in the physical description of the bad guy or A this episode, because we see a lot more close-ups of this person, and it looks like it is like some kind of mask that has like almost like bark or like leather looking material on it with or like these weird stitches. Well, it looked like a little, I don't know, it didn't look like skin to me, but it also was a mask because I guess it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But it's video time. Hair. And I will just say, as if Tabby wasn't already my favorite character, she says to the girls, "Hold on to your butts." And that is a Jurassic Park quote, ladies and gentlemen.
It is.
And everyone else.
It is. And it confirms that her favorite movie is Jurassic Park, like it says on her name tag. Yes, girl. Yeah, of course I thought of you when I heard that line.
Hold on to your butts.
Yeah. So we play the video. It starts off looking like a campaign video. So everyone's like, oh,
everyone vote for
like
Karen.
Vote for Karen. And then, but Karen is like noticeably confused, and she like turns to her sister Kelly and she's like, what is this? And we're watching it, and then it starts like switching off to some footage taken with, I suppose, like it looks like it's taken with an iPhone. And Karen is plastered, and this is, you recognize she's wearing the same outfit as the before in the beginning of the episode, the 6 months ago flashback. Yeah. So this is after she gets into the fight with Imogen, and she's drunk, and she starts like going off about how it's ridiculous that Greg kissed Imogen and that, you know, she's so much better. And I mean, to be honest with you, the main thing, the main takeaway that I took out of this video is the, and excuse me, I'm so sorry, PSR, but it's the pencil dick. I was enamored with the pencil dick. I was like,
well, you know who wasn't is Karen.
No, she was pissed because apparently, like, she didn't say that she lost her virginity here, but she was just going on about Greg's pencil dick. And yeah, I was
can you believe Greg kissed that effing slut when he has me? A-hole couldn't even keep his pencil D hard enough to F me properly. It was like 15 seconds tops.
I mean, if they're both virgins.
Then, and they're both teenagers.
Really, you really blame Greg. He's doing the best with his pencil. I'm sorry.
And not only that, but we hear, like, during all of this, we hear a man's voice, or seemingly a man's voice, behind the camera.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, how big are you? And he says he's huge. She's like, well, you have to show me. And he's like, you show me yours first. And so this is when the clip cuts off and Karen, like, sprints out of the theater. And I do have to say, this film was so long. It was like 30 full seconds. Plenty of time for someone to whip a camera
enough
out.
Time for somebody to whip out their phone and film it. Yeah. Half of those teenagers have their phones in their hands anyway. At this
exactly.
Point.
They probably
nobody
are already
watches
filming
the previews.
Yeah. And so Kelly follows her, and Wes like sees all this go down. He sees them run out. So he enters the theater and the movie's starting up. So he's like, that's weird. But him and Chip make eye contact.
Yes.
And Imogen was like, was that bad? And Mouse was like, it's not as bad as rat torture. And I'm like, this is true.
That's very true. Did you feel bad for Karen in this moment at all?
I feel like Karen has done worse than this. I mean, yeah, this is awful. This is something that will follow you for a while. I think it's good that, because I thought that they just cut the film off before she revealed the tatas. But friends, it turns out she didn't reveal any tatas because Imogen interrupted all of that. But yeah, it sucks. This is awful. This is bullying
for
sure.
If they edited the video in any sense,
they just added in the clip at the beginning and the clip at the end.
So they added more to the video.
They did. Made it longer.
They did not edit the video. They just added more to the video.
Yeah, this.
I guess they cut when Imogen came into the room.
They definitely cut that out. But I think the move, maybe this is the move. Tell me what you think of this. I don't think you can splice like that. I was going to say you could splice little cuts of it in the middle of the Jordan Peele movie they're watching, so that people have to stay for the whole film waiting for the next clip with Karen in it. But
that is a lot of work. And it's probably very disrespectful for Jordan Peele's Get Out, which was of critical acclaim.
I think maybe they just do instead, they just do like make it like a 15 second clip, not a 30 second clip, you know?
Maybe a few less pencil D references.
Yes, maybe. And so everyone's leaving, and Noah has a curfew. Tabby has to stay and sweep. She's still working. And Imogen is immediately having second thoughts. She's like, was that okay? I don't know. And Tabby's like, yeah, of course. Like, Karen was shook. That's exactly what we wanted. And Tabby tells her, just go grab a ride with the other ones. You're fine. So as she comes back in, though, Wes is yelling at Chip. He's like, what's going on with that clip for the movie? And I was really happy to see Tabby fess up to it and not let Chip take the fall.
Yeah, I do too. I think that that was big of her. And also, I think that once again, Tabby's really smart. I think that she knows if Chip took the blame, he would get fired. But if she took the blame because Wes has such a disgusting feelings for her, then she would get off like not in big trouble.
Right. So Wes sends Chip home and Tabby basically like begs for her, like her job not to be fired.
Well, I think that she's more focused on NYU as well.
I think both things matter to her. Like, she even says, like, this place is, like, home to me. Like, this is, like, my favorite place. Please don't fire me. And he says, this is your one F up. And he tells her to clean up and he'll give her a ride home. And I truly thought we were going to see that ride home. Like, I thought something was going to happen because I'm like, oh, man. Like, is he going to turn out to be a true a-hole and be like, well, now you owe me a kiss or well, now you I owe
think
me it,
I think
whatever.
That is what's going to happen. That's the feeling that I'm getting.
But I think it's because it's kind of like a trope and we're kind of just ready for
hey,
it.
Hey, if this Pretty Little Liars does not push tropes, then I am all for it. I don't need to see Wes and Tabby get forced into a relationship. That doesn't really interest me. I've seen it 1,000 times before in different iterations, and I would be fine with Wes just being a little bit creepy and not totally creepy. Or maybe Wes can actually help her get into NYU. That could be great.
Yeah, I'm with you. I fully agree with that. And because we didn't see it this episode, I'm hoping that that is the case, that we're not going to see it at all.
So I think it's going to happen.
Ugh. So Mouse, meanwhile, is on Karen's Insta. She's reading through all these comments and they're all like super mean, which I was like, I got to be honest, the video was bad, but it was mostly just bad for Greg. Like, it was, she wasn't.
This was really an anti-Greg video, more so.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess, like, you know, it's embarrassing, but.
It's more embarrassing for Greg. He got called a pencil D. And also, he only lasted 15 seconds. Like, that is not what a teenage boy wants to hear. I feel like I thought with all the mean comments she's getting, it felt more like they put out a video of her saying, and you know that girl, Diane, well, she sucks. And, you know, I saw her eating grass the other day. I don't know, whatever. Like, it felt like all the hate she'd be getting is more like if she said mean things about a lot of people.
Yeah, totally. I guess it's the fact that she was in a compromising position offering to show her tatas, as you said earlier, and that's embarrassing.
What's better, tatas or smooch?
I mean, I know I have more comfort in saying, but that's not really your question.
So Imogen is lying awake in bed and we see a flashback to her having dinner with her mom, where she's like on the phone with Karen. She hangs up and she said she'd meet Karen at the mall before it closes, and her mom says herself, she's like, remember, you are who you hang out with. I don't like Karen. She's a bully and a mean girl, and I don't want you to be those things. You can't ever be those things, you understand? And Imogen says she won't be. And Imogen is having this memory because obviously she was a mean girl tonight. She did mean girl shit. Like, what she did was be a bully.
Exactly. She realizes that she would have made her mom disappointed in her. And the only thing that she has right now is a memory of her and her mother's relationship. And one of the wishes that Davey had for her daughter was that she would be a nice girl.
Yeah. And we go back to present time where Imogen's phone buzzes. We see her meet up with Karen in the graveyard. Sarah, in the graveyard.
I told you. That's what they
did. You did mention this.
And apparently it's their thing that they do often. Go to Starbucks. That's what a normal thing is. Go to the mall. Go to ice skating. Don't go to the cemetery. But okay. But then again, when I was a teen, I hung out, like, I don't know, by the train tracks. So maybe the cemetery is not that different.
I don't think it's that different from the train
tracks. Okay, so maybe, I mean, that's where you went to go to the train tracks. You just went to the train tracks or like a random empty parking lot. That's that's kind of what we did. Oh, so maybe the cemetery is not too different.
No, so Karen's like, I know the video is from you. Where did you get it? And Imogen, we see all of this happening where Imogen goes back to get her coat. She pushes Tyler off of Karen and tries to get him to stop recording. She helps Karen. Meanwhile, Karen's saying she hates Imogen and Tyler is still recording them. So Imogen takes his phone and she tells Karen, that night I handed you off to Kelly to make sure you were safe before I left. And this is when Karen admits to Imogen that she lost her virginity to Greg earlier that night. Mm-hmm. And the next thing she heard, he was kissing Imogen.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how all that might have happened, but of course Kelly did not tell Karen that the next morning.
Yeah. And not only that, but again, this is some nonsense where Karen makes a really good point of you saved that video. Mm-hmm. You could have deleted it that night, but you didn't. You saved it.
Which makes Imogen not that innocent, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because she kept it for blackmail in the future. And I thought that was messed up. I think that Karen made a good point. I thought that, and I think that Imogen's, well, I don't know. I think that Davey, Imogen's mother, would have kept that video, but of course Imogen doesn't know that side of
her
mom.
She wants her daughter to be better is the thing. She exactly. wants her daughter to be better than she was, and it all goes back to that night in 99.
If it was me and or actually if it was you and I had a compromising photo or video of you and I collected this dude's phone, I would give you the video. I would give you the phone so that you can dispose of it how you would like.
Right.
And that's what Imogen should have done. Of course, they were kind of on bad terms. And I'm sure Imogen tried to talk to Karen. As she said in the previous episode, I tried to talk to you and I've said sorry a bunch of times. I'm sure Karen didn't want to hear it. But I think that she should have still given the phone back to Karen.
I think that's the gesture of goodwill. I think that's the move where you say, I didn't kiss your boyfriend. He kissed me. And to further prove that, I could have released this video, but instead, I'm giving it to you to dispose of. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like, necessarily say it out loud, but more of, like,
right.
to show you that I'm on your side.
A loyal friend to you.
Exactly.
But also, Karen was a raging bee. And
oh, yeah, of course.
I'm sure Imogen, in the world of teenage girls, I think that you find what ammo you can. Yeah. I don't see that's a good thing, but I think that that's what was going through
happening.
Her mind. Yeah. Imogen's
and
mind.
So Imogen's like, well, you shouldn't have put razor blades in your own shoes or mutilated a rat.
I'm sorry. Whenever she says it, it just sounds so stupid.
It is a lot.
I was Karen, because I don't think Karen did put the razor blades in the shoes, I would be like, bitch, what are you talking about? I didn't put no razor blades in anybody's shoes.
Yeah. Oh my God. So so she's like, I did not do that. And Imogen's like, well, obviously we're not going to have an honest conversation, so I'm going to go. And then Karen just yells at Imogen, get out of my face. And so Imogen leaves. And okay, this one scared me because we just see the creeper like pop up behind her. And I'm like, run, Karen.
Yeah, because Imogen is like, is saying, you know, are you going to just stay out here alone? And Karen's like, well, I'm going to take care of myself. Like, I'm not afraid of anything. And yeah, and then there's like the creepy, scary guy in the background.
Yeah, it's very scary. But yeah, let's go to a quick ad break because I still need to calm down from that creeper being there. This as much Tabby's like, no jump scares. And then the show is like, every jump scare for you. So we will be right back.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
you're back, and it's Friday. I was trying to emphasize the A, but it's kind of impossible to anyway. Tabby asks if Imogen is okay because she was falling asleep at breakfast. And Imogen immediately tells Tabby that she met up with Karen last night, which also I was kind of mad that she didn't bring Tabby with her, even as like a lookout. Like she didn't, like Karen didn't need to see Tabby. Yeah. But I feel like that's safety, you know?
Can we talk about how cute Imogen was? She was dressing, okay, Imogen's clothes. She either dresses like she's a freaking 5-year-old or a doll, or she has this getup. Now, no respectable teenager wears this getup. She is wearing skinny jeans. I was told the skinny jeans are not in by the children. She's wearing a pink cami. Then she's wearing like this like weirdly cropped sweater, but it's one of those like kid sweaters where it ties by two strings in the front.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's over her belly. But then on top of that, she's wearing like Kelly green flats, but they're Mary Jane flats. Once again, like very childlike with straps across the feet. Like what is her style? It is so weird.
She did that. Like you said, like she, to me, is a very doll-like outfit in the cemetery because she had those white socks that end just above your knees, kind of with similar like Mary Jane shoes, yes. Which to me reads very much like a doll.
It's very strange. Like why?
Her style is weird.
I'm going to have to really think about why they are dressing her like this, which is either doll-like or childlike. Everybody else kind of has their unique sense of style. Like, of course, Tabby's is more like casual street smart. For me, Karen, it reminds me so much of Cher from Clueless.
I had the same exact thoughts because she wears like blazers and like these like fuzzy shirts. I think Karen is very into textures because all her shirts and outfits feel like look fuzzy.
Yeah. But I just and I'm just not totally like cluing in to what the dresser's story for Imogen is yet in terms of clothing because it's very intentional.
Okay, based on the fact that she's dressing like either a doll or a child, it feels childlike to me. Mm-hmm. Like we are supposed to look at her as either like innocent or naive or young. That's what her, you know, fashion story is telling me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Because I can't wait to talk about the dance looks because I have a favorite and I feel like it's obvious, but we'll get there.
I hated her dance look, but we'll get there.
Oh, Imogen's, yeah. Tabby is like, listen, like Karen's a sociopath. Say it with me now. She's a sociopath. And she's like, why the cemetery? She's like, that was our thing. What?
Why is it her thing?
So Farron, they're missing their black swan because Karen isn't at school. So they're not going to practice. And Farron volunteers, but Jiri, I think her name is.
Jiri. Madam or Madam Jiri, I think.
Jiri, yeah. She says no. And Henry is like, this is BS. They know you're the best. Let me talk to her. Don't worry. I'll make it all about me, of course. And he asks if she's going to the dance. And this was interesting because he doesn't say, do you want to go to the dance? He says, I'm going. Maybe you should too. And I was like, oh, the steamy dancing is turning into a romance.
Yes. Yeah. I think that they should take their steamy dancing to the school dance.
I was sad that we didn't get more steamy dancing. Choreographed dancing from them. Yeah. Like a Dirty Dancing style thing. Like I would have appreciated that.
Yeah.
But such is life. So yeah, so then Karen, so quote unquote Karen goes to see the principal who thinks that she's Kelly, and she's like, no, I'm Karen. She's like, listen, I don't want to be spirit queen. I'm withdrawing from the race. I don't deserve it. Imogen and Tabitha didn't destroy her poster or my posters. I did. I was jealous. I felt threatened. I'm really sorry. I believe all of my heart of hearts, Imogen deserves to be spirit queen. Mm. And I was like, something's wrong here.
You were suspicious right away.
Immediately. Yeah.
Right. It is very, because the conversation last night did not go in the way that you would have where this would have been Karen's response, right? So right. Did you have a feeling, did you think that it was Karen putting on an act, or did you have a feeling it was Kelly?
I thought it was just Karen putting an act on. Because, okay, if we're talking outfits, she was dressed just like Karen. I mean, I know Karen and Kelly dress similarly, but no, Karen wears these, like, outrageous, like, what's the word? Ostentatious, bright-colored, fuzzy outfits. And so I saw Karen, and I was like, oh, it's Karen. It did give me slight pause when the principal called her Kelly, but I was like, it's probably just the principal being dumb.
Yeah. So then we get Kelly, who's really Karen. Well, actually, no, Karen, that's really Kelly, excuse me, come in. Actual Karen is crying on the bed. She's been reading Instagram comments. And this is the first time I think that we saw Kelly really stand up to her sister or be more vocal than she's more assertive.
Yeah.
More assertive. That is a great word for it, because she's just like, what are you doing? Don't read the comments. You know, and then they kind of have this plan going on that, you know, something is going to happen at the dance.
Yes. So they're like, well, Imogen is going to be crowned spirit queen. And so we're going to give her a starring role in the movie. They want to go with Carrie, which, again, I do love these. This show is very reference heavy, mostly because of Tabitha, but here as well, that everybody, I haven't seen Carrie. I know what happens in Carrie. Everybody knows what happens in Carrie.
Yes.
So we're like, ooh, that's not good. Meanwhile, Imogen gets called into the principal's office, and he's like, I'm so sorry. I accused you and Tabitha. I noticed that Tabitha didn't get called in and get an apology. I'm just saying. And he's like, listen, Karen confessed and she dropped out of the race for spirit queen. Also, why isn't there a spirit king? But, you know, fine. Yeah. Or like, okay. What is happening here?
I don't know. But also, why is the principal so, like, heavily invested in spirit queen?
I have no idea. And it's very weird to me that he's like, oh, and come, I've heard that it's like mother, like daughter. I'm like, first of all, who did you hear that from? Second of all, her mom just died, bro. Like, maybe don't bring that up right now.
I think it's so funny that this show takes spirit queens so seriously. And I think it has to be, like, I don't know, it's an equivalent to prom queen. And I think that it's such a TV and movie trope that prom queen is a big deal.
Yes. But
honestly, most of the time schools just pick out a hat for prom queen these days, as far as I know.
Oh my gosh. It's so dumb to
write either way. They did that with my school, my prom.
I didn't go to my prom, so I could not tell you, but.
Oh, you don't know. I don't know. When the principal said like mother, like daughter, I think that it was supposed to be a kind thing.
Oh, I don't doubt that. It was more just like the way he said it was like he wasn't sure, or like he had just heard that her mom had a bid spirit queen. He was trying to be nice, but he knows that her mom just died. So like,
yeah,
maybe don't bring up her mom to her. I don't know. I'd be really hesitant to like. Do something like that.
I don't know. Maybe it's the way that he said it. Maybe he would have been like, your mother would be like so honored that you're following in her footsteps. How about that?
You don't know what my mom would want.
Okay, bitch. Come on. He's trying. This loser principal that cares so much about Spirit Queen is trying.
So then all the other girls are waiting in the hall because they heard her get called to the office. And Imogen tells the others that Karen dropped out of the race. And she's really freaking out. They bring her into the bathroom and Imogen is freaking out because she's like, I'm nothing like my mom. She never would have shown that video like we did. And Tabby's like, listen, we made a pact. And Imogen's like, listen, my mom would have destroyed the phone and not held on to it for months. And Imogen's like, we all messed up.
What's interesting? Like, it kind of makes me think, like, because Davey presented herself like she was so kind and so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Imogen doesn't know the truth, right? And she would probably feel almost better in this moment, maybe worse. But
well, we don't know what Davey was like post the 99 incident.
Well, I think that she at least presented herself like she's a changed person,
right?
And she didn't tell her daughter about this because she as they were saying in the last episode, they never talked about their high school experience. It's right. just like kind of sad that she's like she has this expectation of what her mother, who her mother was and what her mother did and how her mother's like morals are, that she doesn't right. realize that she's more like her mother than she thinks.
Well, yeah. And this is part of what happens when people die. Everybody romanticizes them and thinks so highly of them. And she's like, oh, my mom would have hated me for being like this. And, you know, she'd be so disappointed. And the truth is, you don't really know what your mom would have, how your mom would have reacted, because she's not here. And so I think Imogen is putting her mom on such a pedestal because she is dead and because she isn't going to be able to get that kind of, you know, what her mom would have thought or what her mom would have said to her. And so right. she's in a really rough spot. I mean, gosh, she's 6 months pregnant. Her mom is dead and she's in this really awful situation. And she's just like, oh, I'm a terrible person. But Tabby's like, you're not a terrible person. Karen is. Don't let her gaslight you. And Noah is very sweet. She's like, you're going to be Millwood High's first pregnant spirit queen. But Imogen doesn't even want to go. And Tabby comes up with the idea of, let's all go to the dance together as friends. And Noah says, I can't go because of the stupid ankle monitor. Mouse has never been to a dance in real life. And Farron's like, you know what? I don't feel guilty. Like, yes,
Farron. Once again, just Farron's like a queen. She's like, yeah, she's like, you know, she deserves it.
Yeah. She's like, and I think that dancer from my from Black Swan is straight, and she's super excited about it.
Yeah, because of all the saucy dancing.
Saucy. Imogen doesn't have a dress that fits, and Tabby's like, my mom can help out with that. Don't worry about it.
Can she help you out with that? Can she?
I can't wait to talk about these outfits. But first, we have to go to community service, where Mr. Beasley is being just like basically threatening Noah. He's like, oh, you only have till the end of the month on community service, huh? He's like, I really appreciate how you've turned your life around. I like that you know how to keep your mouth shut. And she's like, yeah, I do. I learned that in juvie. And he's like, do you want to do pick up trash or priming? I'm feeling very benevolent today. So she asks him for a favor, and that is she gets permission to go to the dance for the night. She doesn't have to wear her ankle monitor for the night.
Woohoo.
Which I'm like, dang, that sheriff has some power that he's able to do that.
I know, seriously. Who's her like caseworker that's allowing this sign
that's
off?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Did we know that she went to juvie?
This is the first we're hearing of it. The okay. first episode, all we knew was that she had gotten into trouble and she had to wear an ankle bracelet.
Got
and,
it.
Like,
okay.
All that. But we didn't know why. We Got still it. Don't know why.
We don't.
So she tells her boyfriend and he's all excited. It is now Saturday night, the night of the dance, and the glam squad has arrived.
We get our makeover montage. So this is kind of our favorite type of montage, which is the yes. makeover episode, or like the makeovers. So it's very fun. It's very fun if it's very light. It's very teenagery. They're all standing in front of a mirror, putting on makeup, getting ready together, dancing to music. I love Mouse trying to put on mascara, and she's like one eye like
that's how
back.
We all were the first time we tried to put mascara on Mouse. Don't you worry about it, girl. It's fine.
So I thought this was a really fun scene, and I like even the little shoes where we were having a steady shot on the bathroom yes. and each girl jumps into the shot and you only see her shoes in the bottom of the dress. It was just fun, you know?
I absolutely loved it. I totally agree with you. And it's really fun because obviously we cover 90s shows. And so a lot of the montages we see are 90s montages. I was really refreshing to see a modern day montage of these girls getting ready. I loved, like, again, I think in the 90s, I don't know that we're really seeing people put on highlighter. So we're just seeing them like with above the cheekbones with the highlighter. I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. They also were talking about their favorite dance movies. Tabby's is Suspiria, which I've never heard of. Center stage is Farron's. Dirty Dancing for Imogen, which of course I love. Yeah, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
All the Step Up franchise for Noah, and Mouse's is West Side Story.
What's your favorite dance movie?
Probably Dirty Dancing. That's like my first gut instinct.
You know what people think? A lot of people really do think that Dirty Dancing Havana Nights is the better Dirty Dancing. Have you ever heard, seen that one?
I have not, but I immediately reject that take.
I know people really like it. I don't know what to say.
I really like the original. Like, how are you? Okay. Baby is carrying watermelons. Like, come on. Like,
Not a baby carrying watermelons.
No, the girl's name is baby.
The girl baby is carrying watermelons.
No, no one puts baby in the corner.
No, would never put baby in the corner.
Such a good, what is it? And I simply said, baby, my sweet baby. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a good one.
It is so good. So Imogen says she's going to apologize to Karen at the dance and give her the crown, or try to. And Tabby's like, we'll help you. And I really liked this because we leave the first episode with Imogen saying, let's kill Karen.
But I don't know. It kind of just feels like very, once again, flip-floppy.
It is. However, I also think it's so plausible or realistic for teenagers to do something and then immediately get that ick factor of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just did that. I feel so bad about it.
Right.
So that made sense to me.
Sure.
We need to talk about these looks now. I pulled them up on my screen so I could take a peek. So I'm going to go, hold on. I'm going to share my screen with you so you can see the looks.
Oh, I'm excited.
So first we need to talk about, let's go left to right. Let's start with Mouse. Mouse is wearing a white t-shirt. On top of it is like this blue tulle, deep V-cut spaghetti strap dress. The tulle is kind of like cut at different lengths. So it might be a midi dress. It's kind of hard to tell. Vibes, what are you feeling?
Hate it. It makes me want to throw up in my mouth.
Is it the t-shirt underneath that bothers you?
T-shirt. It's all of it. And I think that she might have been, was the one wearing, I don't know what kind of shoes she was wearing. I forget. But I really hate it. Like, I think it's terrible.
I don't mind it. I did like that. It makes, okay. I think it's in line with her character that she would be wearing a t-shirt underneath her dress because I feel like she's the type that is like a little insecure and like doesn't want to wear something super revealing. So I think this tracks is like what she'd be wearing. I think she's probably the one wearing the combat boots that we saw. But I don't know for sure.
It makes sense. Yeah. Further. I really despise this look. I think it's terrible.
Okay. Next up we have Farron. Kind of looks like a toga. Like a sparkly toga. No,
she's
toga.
So glam. It's
oh,
a drape,
you like this one?
It's a drape dress. There's like a tie. It has like some sort of a neck piece. She is like a glamazon. I think that she's amazing. It's not my favorite look out of all of them, but I think it's probably number two or three in my rankings.
Okay. Next up, we have Imogen. She is wearing a gold dress that has a bit of like these like glitzy detailing, but then the top is like
velvet,
black velvet on the boobs, and like a
it's
big
like a Bridgerton dress, right?
Kind of. I think I would like it Puffy if sleeves. The top was just like normal straps and it was gold. I think the black is what throws me off.
Like, okay, so obviously she's meant to be like 6 months pregnant here. She can't wear certain things, but this is just awful. It's so ugly. And the Empire waist does not help. It doesn't help. It doesn't help. It doesn't flatter her. No respectable teenager would wear this ensemble. It has to be like Tabby's mom from when she was pregnant with Tabby. Terrible. Yeah. Awful. Do I hate it more than Mouse's? Ooh, the thing is, if Mouse took off the white t-shirt, then it would be like a average, okay, meh dress. But there is nothing that Imogen can do to make this dress cute at the state it's in now.
I think Imogen's is my least favorite so far.
Horrible. Why, Imogen? You used to be like a baddie.
Yeah.
And now anymore. You're a saddie.
Then we have Tabby's outfit, which is my personal favorite because I love the like gender bending androgynous looks. And I think Tabby pulls this look off perfectly. She is wearing these cute sequin shorts. She has on kind of like the normal button down shirt and a bow tie. And she has this cute little like blazer jacket on. Her hair is like down and normal on one side and is like braided on the other side. I loved this look.
Yeah, I really like this. I think that her hair looks amazing. I really like the fact that it's like feminine, but it's still androgynous and it's yes. a little masculine as like well. And
come on.
Was that?
I said the sequin shorts, they're yes, everything.
Yeah, and like she has a lacy top, and I think that she accessorized really well. I think this is really a cool look. Maybe a little bit mature for a high school student, but I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And lastly, we have Noah, who has her hair down and just kind of like normal curls. She is wearing kind of a short red dress that accentuates the tatas. Like, I feel like it's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Or low cut. I don't know what it's called. Yeah. And it's just like a very basic red dress. But I mean, everybody looks good in a basic red dress.
Yeah. I think I really like this one. And this one's probably my favorite because I think it's really age appropriate. It's young. It's fresh. She looks good in it. She looks saucy in it. And I think that even though I think that Tabby has the most her own unique fashion sense, I do think it like it veers a little bit old for a high school student, while I believe that Noah's is very age appropriate and something that I would see at a high school dance.
That's fair. I would agree with that. I also think that you would see Noah's outfit at a high school dance, especially because like I remember when short dresses were all the rage and everybody was wearing these short dresses, and I was super tall. And so I just couldn't do the short dress because people don't need to see those parts, you know, right. Like it's showing everything. So
there's
yes.
clouds on Mouse's dress. We didn't mention that.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very darling. I don't know. I like it.
Darling.
It's darling.
It's darling.
Anyway, so moving on, we're at the dance. Imogen finds Karen, or wait, it's Kelly. And immediately I was like, is this really Karen? Like, this is the thing with twins. You don't know.
Okay. Or is it really? Is it really?
And I would still argue we still don't necessarily know who it was.
Okay.
So she was dancing with Greg.
This is part of my theories.
Okay.
Maybe we'll save it to the end. But well, I did make note of that. I'll just say it. I'm not fully convinced Karen is dead. I think
it might be Kelly.
Super plausible that Kelly is the one that's dead and Karen is going to take over Kelly's personality.
Interesting. Okay, so what I will say is we never get confirmation who's who, and we also see this person, whether it's Karen or Kelly, dancing with Greg. And the fact that Imogen thinks that it's Karen speaks to me that it actually is, that Karen is the one who was in the formal wear, because Imogen was best friends with her. And usually with twins, like there is a way to tell them apart, you know, they're not ever like even identical twins. There's a way to tell them apart. So I agree with that. We'll talk a little bit more at the end and maybe get into more of some like previous Pretty Little Liars content spoilers, just in case anybody doesn't want to be spoiled on that. But yeah, so Imogen is just like, oh, I really want to see Karen. And Karen or Kelly is like, oh, I can't wait to see you on stage tonight. And we get like super ominous music playing as the sisters are pouring red paint.
If you said that to me, I'd be like, no, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to be on stage.
Yeah, something is weird here.
Sir, you will bring the crown to me.
Yeah. Henry finds Farron and he calls her the one true swan. Farron's too busy like searching for Karen. But Henry said he saw her when he came in and he asked her to dance and she says yes. We see Greg spiking the punch and like he's pouring it with a flask into the punch bowl and then like licking it, like lapping at it as it pours in. And I'm like, this is the most unsanitary thing I've ever
seen. That was very gross. Spike the punch bowl. Have at it. Have a great time.
Sarah's like, you know what? At a high school with dance, you want to spike the punch bowl? Please do.
Fine. That's fine. But don't like lick the alcohol as it's going down like a dog.
How much spittle went into that punch bowl? It's disgusting.
A lot. That's worse than spiking the punch bowl.
Also, how is there not a chaperone looking at the punch bowl? Like, have you never seen a high school movie?
There is one chaperone in the entire party, and it's the principal, and he's too obsessed with Spirit Queen. He's like, oh, Spirit Queen, I need
he's
to
like,
know.
You know what? I don't have time to watch the punch bowl. I'm too focused on announcing Spirit Queen. I gotta get my speech down.
He's like in the back, like shining the crown, like this has to be perfect.
Yeah. Ash finds Mouse at the dance. He's like, you seem on edge. And she says, crowds make her nervous. And so he's like, hey, you want to go get high? So she goes with him. And we know this is modern times because they're using a vape pen. And he's like, oh, you're a natural. And she's like, do you really think this is the first time I've smoked weed? And then she starts coughing, which I really loved. And he's like, you know what? Next time we'll take gummies instead. And we get the background on why she's called Mouse. Her name is Minnie, and her moms have always called her Mouse. Her family is Disney obsessed, and partly it's because they want to keep her a little girl forever. And also, childhood trauma that's too tragic to talk about right now. Hmm. And I'm like, please tell me more.
We'll just put a pin on that one.
Mm-hmm. I thought this interaction was very cute. I'm really shipping, what are we going to call them? Mash.
Yeah.
Mouse and Ash.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, that's really good.
Plus, when you play Nash, you get like linked up with someone. So,
yeah. M-A-S-H.
Yeah. Mansion, apartment, shack.
Or house.
Is it house? Oh, yeah. I was thinking hotel. And then I'm like, what's wrong with me?
No, it's house.
Yeah. House. Yeah. So meanwhile, Tabby's looking around. Chip finds her, and they were apparently supposed to meet by the punch bowl, but she was on a stealth mission. And she's like, you know what? Can you help me find Karen? And he's like, yeah, of course. And she like leaves him and immediately goes in the opposite direction.
No Karen spottings quite yet.
No. Noah and Sean are sneaking around the hallways. They go into an empty classroom. And she's like, this is where I started getting sus on him. When she's like, you've been such an amazing boyfriend. So respectful, so loving, so caring. I thought you'd break things off when I went to juvie, but you didn't. You stuck around. And they start making out, and then they're getting undressed, and they're doing it on the desk.
And at what point did you put blame on
when
him?
She started saying, most boyfriends would have broken up with a girl who goes to juvie, but you didn't. You've been so respectful, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, something's
going on. He did nothing. She said words. He did nothing.
I don't know. Just what? His presence.
No.
Don't trust men on this show, Sarah.
There's two of them. How can you not?
Well, there's a lot more than that, but they just don't have huge parts yet.
He's so
oh no, I just said huge parts.
Exactly. Why do you have to be so rude to Greg? Poor Greg. He's just trying to spite the punch bowl with his pencil D.
And then we see this creepy guy just sneaks into the school from like that. Around the back, and I'm like, can we lock the doors, please?
Where is security in this establishment?
We don't have it.
Sheriff Beasley is really, really slacking.
The thing is no one is like getting like it's weird to me that they I feel like with dances, you're supposed to have all the doors locked except the one that lets you in the entrance. And so it's like, how did this guy just get to go in through the back near his creepy shed?
He has the janitor keys.
He didn't unlock anything though, did he?
What?
I didn't see him unlock anything.
I don't care. He stole the keys. Plus, he has that shack in the back, the A's lair.
Back shack.
The back shack.
The back shack, which has all his creepy crawly things in it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we get some slow dancing, and all the couples are dancing. Chip and Tabby look real awkward.
But Greg is not slow dancing with his bros. Or no, not Greg. Who's the other one? What's Noah's
Sean.
Boyfriend?
Sean.
Yeah. He's very forgettable in terms of name. Sean is not dancing with his bros. See, this is why you go to a dance with a person that you're interested in.
Except
so that you can slow dance.
Tabby sees Imogen all by her lonesome, and she's like, perks alert, time for a friend intervention.
You bring in Imogen, and then you guys do a threesome dance.
I've done that before. I've done that with a group of friends. But then as soon as all the girls go over to Imogen and ask if they can have this dance, it gets like the poppy music. It's like fast paced.
Oh, damn.
I know, missed out on that. But it's very cute that they're all dancing together. Then we get the spirit time for the Spirit Queen. The principal's so jazzed. It's Spirit Queen time.
I've been waiting for this moment all night.
Imogen Adams. Everyone cheers. Imogen goes on stage. The principal
one
crowns
unimposed.
Unopposed.
So it's not that impressive, to be honest with you.
But Mouse points out something overhead, and it's Karen or Kelly. We don't know. But whoever it is, she has a big old bucket of red paint.
Yeah, it's making us think that it's Karen.
Karen, right. And the girls are yelling at Imogen. They point up. Imogen looks up. She sees Karen's maniacal smile. Like, the look. I need to have a screenshot of that because that look that she has on her face is truly terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's making me think that the twins are... They might not be A, but they definitely have something going on. Oh, yeah.
They're super creepy. But then A is behind her, and they're fighting, and he throws her, and you just hear this, like, splat, and everyone is running. Imogen is just staring there, blood pooling at her feet the very same way. Just
like her mom.
Yep. And all of them get a text, and this feels very Pretty Little Liars, where it's all like, bing, bing, bing,
bing, bing. Did you get chills? I got chills. Yeah. I was like, ooh, like, this is, like, such classic.
It is. Classic, it's very classic PLL. The funniest thing to me is that Imogen, first of all, she doesn't even move, but she does take her phone out of her pocket. She's like, oh, who cares about this dead body?
Crawling to your toes, but yeah, I have to take off my phone, take out my phone first.
Yeah, absolutely wild. And they all get a text message. It says, to thine own self be true, one bully down, five to go, keep quiet about me or you're next. A. And we're like, yes, A is here.
Yeah, I think that it's so awesome to have the sign off of A. And yeah, it just feels like, okay, we're back.
Yeah,
we are back, baby. And it just, it's really good. Once again, after all these years, to get our first A message, it is so creepy and just so good. It's just so good. And the fact that they had, like, that five-way split screen, and
yes,
it went from, like, everybody looking down to everyone staring right into the camera, staring at our souls. Ooh, so good. So good. Yeah. And then didn't, like, the A, like, lift off the screen, and, like, it was black screen against the A?
Yes.
Oh, so and good.
Imogen is crying. There are some kids smoking outside as this high school just, like, spills out onto the lawn. And we do hear people saying she killed herself. So I don't think everybody saw what happened. Some guy bumps into the masked person, A. And I will say, I feel like we have a good idea on how tall this A is, because massive.
Very tall, but could be two 16-year-olds on shoulders.
Still, I mean, we know it's not Karen and Kelly now, but it's still our running theory for sure.
Yeah. Like,
this is possible. Yeah. And so, right, he's like, who the F are you supposed to be? And the guy, like, the A, turns to the camera, and there's just an A.
Oh, because that's A. It's just so cool. That's so cool. It's like, who are you supposed to be? A. And then, yeah, then it fades to black, and then there's just this red, bloody A. Very cool. And then, like, the end cap is, like, Pretty Little Liars, Original Sin, with the A in original. Very cool. I was kind of shocked that Karen supposedly is dead, and I thought that was a really interesting twist.
I did too, and it made me I think it clarified for me why they had why they had one actress playing the twins. It's like, oh, they're gonna kill one of them off in episode two, so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I do love how the show was like, yeah, we have twins, and, you know, they were very, like, la-di-da about it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, it's twins. But yeah, it's really, really, really interesting to have this big twist. And it reminds me of, just, like, kind of like how back when Scream first came out, we had Drew Barrymore, and a lot of people, they were, like, promoting it with, like, it's a Drew Barrymore movie.
Yes.
And Drew Barrymore died within the first 5 minutes of the movie.
I gotta tell you, I didn't know that when I first watched Scream, and I was like, because, you know me, I love Drew Barrymore, and I was so sad. she died immediately.
And it was like so innovative for that time because Drew was like the big name.
She's the it girl. Yeah.
She's the it girl. And it kind of feels the same. Like, you know, we thought that Karen was going to be the main villain. And theoretically, Karen is no longer with us.
Yes, so we don't know if this is Karen or Kelly. Let's dive into a couple theories that like you had mentioned you had a theory. I have some thoughts as well. We're going to spoil Pretty Little Liars, like the OG books. So if for whatever reason you're nervous about that, you don't want to hear it, like we understand. But
and I'm going to say like one thing for the OG series as well.
Yes. So go ahead, Sarah. Tell me your theory.
So I'm going to tell you a story about the original Pretty Little Liars book. Mm-hmm. Allie was a twin. And this is the biggest twist in the entire first arc, the first 8 books, is the revelation that Allie was a twin. And Allie, essentially what happened is pretty convoluted, as Pretty Little Liars is. But Allie was the popular twin. Courtney was the not popular twin. She got sent off to a mental facility. And when Courtney, her twin, came to visit Allie and the family, Courtney took over Allie's identity. And then Allie wound up going to the mental facility. And then once again, at a visit, Allie wound up killing Courtney.
Right.
I know that's like very convoluted. It was very convoluted, but it matters. So this is when they started doing these switches, especially when they went to the principal. It was very reminiscent of a Courtney Allie situation back in the day, switching and then people not really knowing which twin is which. So my first theory is that Karen is going to wind up taking over Kelly's personality. And it's really Karen who's still there, who is going to continue, you know, being the HBIC that she is. We kind of get like, once again, like a different feeling for like, it didn't, when we see Kelly at the dance, it wasn't totally convincing that was Kelly and not
no
Karen.
Because Imogen first calls her Karen, and there's already precedent for them to have switched places,
right?
And I also saw Greg near there, and I'm like, okay, this makes sense. And I feel like, I don't know, something about the way she's dressed gives me Karen vibes. She had these cute like bow earrings that I could not stop staring at. I don't know, she gave me Karen vibes, and I totally agree with you. I feel like it could be a cute nod to the OG series to have something where Kelly is the one who dies. But the thing is I don't know how you pull this off with your parents, because your parents.
Well, Allie and Courtney's parents didn't realize.
I know, but.
I know. Theoretically, like, realistically, it shouldn't be the case. So that's one thought. I think that it's totally plausible that Karen can take over her sister's identity and really, like, you know, be the maniacal person that she wants to be. Yeah. Now I have a theory B.
Okay.
Theory B is that it is Kelly, and then Kelly's been behind all of this, because Kelly is, like I said, the demure sister. She's not the popular one. She wants to be the popular one. And the person that gets in her way is her sister Karen. So now Kelly can take over kind of like her sister's like legacy of being the popular one and that dresses a certain way. And maybe she's behind like not everything, but definitely behind her sister getting killed.
Interesting. And I really like that theory.
Can be like a psycho, like a crazy girl. Like she can be, and also the reason why I was feeling like this could be the case is like all the Imogen stuff and the fact that like she might have exaggerated what really happened between Imogen and Greg, and the fact that she didn't tell her sister the next day what happened with Imogen, like protecting Karen from.
There's precedent there. Like Tyler. They definitely have set up enough for us to be suspicious of Kelly. For sure. because mm-hmm. of everything they've done so far in terms of like, oh, they've switched places, and the way Kelly's telling the story makes Imogen look worse than what actually happened. Was it a mistake? Was it not? Like, there is a lot going on there. So I like both of these theories. I think it's going to be really interesting. I think we're going to be watching very closely to see how Karen slash Kelly, whichever one is left, is acting in this next episode. And kind of, I'm most excited to watch this next episode to see the fallout of everything, because they really went there. Like, in old school Pretty Little Liars, like OG, it would have taken them a whole season to get to this point. And we got here in two episodes. So I'm really excited about the pacing of everything. It feels like it's moving at a quick pace. I'm really, really enjoying what we've seen so far. And I'm liking the mixture. It's not as horror, which is nice for me personally. They did a lot of jump scares in episode one. We didn't get as many in episode two, which I really liked. But I'm still so curious to see what's going to happen from here, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are suspicious, but like, who is this huge hulking figure? Is it two teenagers, one sitting on the other shoulders? Who knows?
I don't know. But I'm very curious as well. And if they do something a la the Pretty Little Liars books, the original books, I would be very, very satisfied, because the greatest sin, talk about original sin, the original sin that the original Pretty Little Liars thing did was that they didn't go through that storyline. And I got to be honest with you.
Yes.
Like, the Pretty Little Liars books really are so good. And the reasoning is because it makes sense what happens versus what happened in the final episode of Pretty Little Liars with Spencer's twin or whatever that was. That made no fucking sense. It was not thought out. I think what happened actually was that I don't think that Sasha Pierce, whatever her name is, from the girl that played Allison. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she had like the acting chops or like the ability to pull it off like Troyan Belisario did. And they really were heavily leaning on Troyan and Spencer back in those days to carry the show. And I think that they felt like Spencer could pull off that, but not Sasha. But it was such a big disappointment that the show didn't do the original twist.
That's why it would be so fun if Original Sin took the original twist and updated it and made it fun, right? Because this one, because in the books, Courtney is a secret. She is not going to school with Allie. Like, it is not known that she has a twin.
Correct.
And so here, it would be so interesting.
And the reason for that is because they had recently moved to Rosewood.
Right. And they wanted to keep her a secret because the family had all sorts of drama beyond just that. It was like a whole thing. So super excited to see what's next. But
if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
My last thing is somebody within the Discord was bringing up that they thought that was interesting that the five girls, the Pretty Little Liars, wouldn't be held responsible because they were all in sight of being of Karen falling to her death. Well, it makes me think of the fact that in the school library, the five girls said publicly that they wanted to kill Karen.
Oh, you're thinking it was caught on camera or
caught
something?
Caught on camera by one of Tabby's creepy school cameras or something. Like, I think that's going to be used as evidence in the future for them being responsible or accused of being responsible for Karen's death. What do you think about that?
Interesting. I mean, I guess it's possible. I guess anything's possible because they were so quick to condemn all the girls for stuff they didn't do that it's plausible that that could happen again.
Yeah.
It's just I'm curious to see if they'll play it off as a suicide or not, because I heard the student running out saying, "Oh my God, she jumped, blah, blah, blah." Like, did people see A? I don't think so. I'm thinking people wouldn't have seen A, and it's going to be treated like a third suicide, which I hope not. I'm like, gosh, we've had enough already in two episodes, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited, though. Regardless, I'm really excited to watch episode 3, which we'll be back with in 2 days, probably. You should see the third episode posted. But if you have thoughts on this show and you want them to get to us, you can email us, jess@postshowrecaps.com. You could tag us in the Discord. We have our own thread. If you want to become a patron to get access to the Discord, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. So many ways to get in contact. You could tag us on Twitter. I'm at the Jess Sterling. Sarah is at Sarah Ferguson. Please do not tweet us spoilers if we have not yet watched that episode. We so greatly appreciate you not doing that. But yeah, I'm so excited to get to the next episode. I feel like this episode really got me in the mood to like want to watch the next one. But Sarah, what do you have going on? Where can people find you if they want to hear you chatting about other stuff in the meantime?
Yeah, on PSR, in the coming weeks, I'm going to be putting out with Grace and Marissa our preview podcast for The League of Their Own TV series on Amazon Prime. We're going to go talk about the movie and also make some predictions about maybe what the show will look like. So check that out within the coming week on Post Show Recaps over at Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, Jessica and I's 90s podcast. We have Dawson's Creek. We have Boy Meets World. We have some 90s movies. For the month of August, we are covering Xenon Girl, the 21st century. Woo! The best DCOM that ever lived. So check us out at Shit 90s Pod. I'm at Sarah Ferguson.
You could find me here on Post Show Recaps talking about community, on community building. You can also hear me talking about Paper Girls, which just came out. So please go check that show out. It's on Amazon Prime Video. The graphic novel is fantastic. The show has been so good thus far. So go check that out as well. And of course, you can also find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me with Sarah. So much going on. You could check both of us out. And we will be talking to you all next week. We still have to find out if two can keep a secret or one of us is going to die by the end of this podcast. So you'll just have to keep tuning in. We will talk to you all next time. Bye.